20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into Behind Enemy Lines, a collaboration between the Paul Farrington Show and the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Paul, joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler and Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. To react to a little bit of Week 17 from the NFC North, look ahead here. The playoffs are right around the corner. Green Bay, Andy, your Packers locked into the seventh seed. I was texting Andy a couple days ago, and I just said, it's funny, the Packers haven't won in what, like a month now? And somehow they are clinching playoff berths. So fortunate for Green Bay to, you know, to be able to be in the playoffs here. I don't know how exactly you're feeling right now as a Packer fan, given that it's been three straight losses, but congratulations, I guess, on clinching this week.
Well, thank you for that. And credit where credit's due. Packers fans, Vikings fans, a debt of gratitude. You guys coming through clutch with the perfect trifecta of knocking the Lions out of the playoffs, helping the Packers clinch a playoff berth, which, by the way, if you don't do that, is now looking like really ridiculously dangerous going into this final week.
Oh, so, yeah.
But thank you for that. And also, you know, kind of ruining your own draft position. So, you know, you really kind of took care of business on all three ends. So we appreciate that greatly. At least one of the two teams between the Vikings and the Packers are trying to help the Packers. It just so happens to be it's Minnesota that's doing a better job of it. So appreciate that. But yeah, other than that, everything's been just a craptastic whirlwind of stuff that's going on in Green Bay. And had it not been for Aaron Rodgers and the Minnesota Vikings back-to-back weeks beating the Detroit Lions, we'd be in a very different position with a very different conversation right now.
Leave it to the Vikings to hurt themselves while helping the Packers. Like, the you know, we're the only team that helps their enemy like that. I guess behind enemy lines, more like on enemy fronts with the Green Bay here. Ziggy, how's everything going for you? You're still out in California?
You know, it'd be nice if there was some meaningful football for me to watch, but it's nice. You know, it's the holidays. I get to focus on the family a little bit. You know, I'm reading stuff from these Vikings beat reporters, like the Vikings are playing on Christmas. So I have to just like leave my family and watch the Vikings suffer and feel miserable the whole day. It's like, I don't have to do that. Vikings are out. I can watch the replays and feel bad about it for a shorter length of time than I usually do watching the Vikings. So things are going great out here.
I woke up on, I think it was the Tuesday before Christmas, and all was, and someone had been talking about the Viking game. I think it, maybe my aunt or my uncle who I saw was like, oh, aren't the Vikings playing Christmas? And we all do Christmas at my house. It's like, are we going to have the game on? I was like, it'll be on, but I don't know who really is going to be watching it in the Farrington house during the day. And then I realized,
you could have seen the Minnesota Vikings set a record for fewest net passing yards in a win in NFL history since the invention of the forward pass.
It's just horrible. Like, I realized I haven't had a football game that I've really looked forward to since like September. Really, since week two with the Vikings or week three with the Vikings and week two of Notre Dame. Maybe you could argue our USC game, Ziggy, in mid-October, but I was like, that's what feels weird. That this void in my sports life right now is there just hasn't been a big football game for us in months. And yeah, Christmas Day, the game really wasn't, it was on and I was just kind of periodically checking in. And eventually my dad just walked up to me. He's like, are we actually going to win this game? I was like, yeah, we are. And now we're picking 17th, Andy. That's insane.
Well, two early season games to look back on. You know, obviously the opportunity, well, I guess from your standpoint, if you don't get that win against the Bears, it looks a lot different. But going back to a weird game that you probably don't look back at as much, but if you could potentially end up in a situation where that one extra tick in that Dallas Cowboys game that Green Bay got to kick the game tying field goal at the end to come away with a tie, where I really thought that extra second was going to roll off. Green Bay's 9-7. Now from a division, in a division record, you get to some weird tiebreakers. But this could easily have been a game where Minnesota's going for 9-8, Green Bay's going for 9-8. This could have been a game for, you know, arguably the final wild card spot. If you just end up with, you know, one or two differences. Now we could go through all of the season. If Green Bay just recovers an onside kick against Chicago, they're still currently favorites to win the NFC North. You could go through all these things, but a play here or there, an extra second ticks off the clock against Dallas. And maybe you guys have something to fight for against Green Bay. You guys probably end up, if you beat Green Bay, which now they're 6.5 point favorites in a game that Green Bay is not trying for, you're probably ending up with about the 13th or 14th best record in the NFL, a winning record, and just outside of the playoffs in a super bizarro year where it never really felt led that way for you guys. Yet you're going to end up a half a game behind Green Bay, who was all in and just a month ago looked like they were ready to compete for a Super Bowl.
Two things about that. One is you're forgetting, Andy, had we been playoff relevant, we would have lost these games. The only reason we're winning these games because it doesn't matter. The other thing about that is that's what makes this so painful here is that we're right there with 13, 14. Like we're going to have a playoff caliber, nearly playoff caliber record. But it's not like it's not a feel good playoff caliber record. The offense had -3 net passing yards. Like the defense is, and that's what makes it also really frustrating is the defense has been so good. They've practically won the last four games. And now we're sitting here going, okay, bad draft pick, worsening our division standing for next year's schedule. And we still have, I think we have less of a clue about our quarterback than we did 4 weeks ago. So it's just the total nightmare.
I was at least looking forward to a chance next year to get to play the Giants and the Saints and the Cardinals. Okay, those are some winnable games. But now it's going to be the Commanders of Jaden Daniels back and healthy. It's going to be the Rams because they just lost to the Falcons.
Oh, no, we're going to get the Rams again.
Yeah, we have to play the Rams next year instead of the Cardinals, who might be firing their head coach and going on to a new quarterback. We could have gotten the Kyler Murray revenge game. And now it's going to be Kyler Murray versus the Rams who kick his butt every time they play.
Who's the other one? And we get the Colts, right, instead of the Titans, too? Oh, my. And
it's,
that's
it's
nice.
It's a mess.
So we basically gave up a win there, Cardinals to Rams.
This is even better. That big win, guys, last week. Congratulations. big time win for you guys.
There was just no world where I thought we were winning that game at all. And all of a sudden, we turned to the 85. We had 6 turnovers. I think the Lions had 8.
That was an insane game. I do have an exercise for you guys I want to ask you about, though. All right. So clearly, Bears fans are the happiest fans in the division, right? Based on expectations and what's happened so far this year. They just came off a loss, but of all fans in the division, Bears are happiest. Based on expectations to what has actually happened this year, out of Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay, Rank those three fan bases from happiest to most miserable.
On this year or going forward?
This year. Just what's happened so far this year based on expectations going into the season to right now. Clearly, again, Bears number one in the division from everyone thinking like they're clearly going to be improved, but probably still fourth, maybe third best team in the division to finishing, you know, with a week to spare as the division champs. And then going on to who's most miserable of fan bases out of Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit based on how the season has gone.
It's a great question.
I think it's got to go Lions, Vikings, Packers from most miserable to least miserable. Right, like the Lions, coming off of some deep playoff runs, this could have been their year. And you see some of these other juggernauts in the NFC looking weaker. You think, okay, this could be us. They're finishing last in the division where they usually are. The Vikings, okay, we've got a quarterback coming around. Like maybe he's going to be able to play well. And it sucks that that didn't work out, but at least we didn't have real playoff aspirations before the season. And the, like Packers fans are out here complaining. I understand why you were hoping this year would go better. But you guys are going to the playoffs. You will have a winnable first round playoff game. Like Packers fans, this season could still end up being a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's likely, but you can't put a team that's going to the playoffs beneath teams that aren't.
I actually would flip it, Ziggy. I disagree with that. I would probably put Green Bay at one because of the start to the season and people in Green Bay. And Packers, we know this, I mean, as well as anyone. Packers fans were thinking, and it looked like they were the best team in football very early this season. You get Micah, right? The first 2 weeks were fantastic. And the way it's collapsed where, yeah, they're going to the playoffs, and even if they beat Chicago, I don't think anyone in Packer, even Packers fans are thinking Super Bowl at this point. It feels more like a season that got away. Detroit's record is 8-8. Obviously, the injuries were sucked on defense for them. But at no point this year, really, maybe for a spark in the middle of the season, did it feel like the Lions were the Lions of last season. I think it's a very disappointing year for Detroit, but it doesn't feel... Last year felt like it got away from them. This year feels like it got away from the Packers, but I'd sandwich the Vikings in between because we've just had a miserable year all across the board. There was one spark of hope. We had one quarter, really, against the Bears that was fun. And I think the question, so I'd rank it Super Bowl escapes number one for Green Bay, quarterback hell number two for Vikings, and then disappointing year given the expectations and last season for Detroit. So that's how I would order it.
I think I'm kind of in between both of you. So it's interesting. We all have different answers. I think Minnesota is maybe the most disappointing just because maybe there weren't the expectations of Super Bowl or whatever, but there is always that hope springs eternal when you've got a young quarterback and you had a really good team around him. And then just for everything to kind of fall apart where the team doesn't really perform the way it's expected. Justin Jefferson has a bizarro year. You get some bad injury luck in there too. And then you also then end up winning games when you're kind of hoping to lose games. Like there just hasn't been a bright spot for Minnesota in some time. You even like take the flyer on Carson Wentz. It kind of works, but then it doesn't. You even get to see Max Brosmer. Maybe Max Brosmer could do a, Brock Purdy impression. Nope. That looks bad too. It feels like everything kind of collapsed, but also still somehow ended up 9-8. Even what you're saying, or at least likely to end up 9-8. And even what you're saying is like, now they get the third schedule instead of the fourth schedule. They get a worse draft pick. That to me is probably one.
How do they do that? It's just not fathomable.
I kind of lean towards Ziggy a little bit more of like, yes, the Packers went from Super Bowl expectations and having legitimate high-end Super Bowl equity to that's all out the window, but they still are in the playoffs and they at least have something to lean on where it's like, all right, let's see what they can do. And it's a really weird playoff. We just saw the Rams lose to the Falcons last night again. Like it is a bizarro playoff field. So while I have no expectations, let's at least see how this goes. And then Detroit, just a massively disappointing season with everything to play for at the end of the year and losing like favorite against Pittsburgh, loses to Pittsburgh, heavily favored against Minnesota, loses to Minnesota. I think I have them kind of sandwiched in the middle, but all three fan bases, not super thrilled at the moment.
The Micah injury to me carries so much weight. That was just a punch in the gut that I don't think the other teams experienced. And if you went, including next year, like looking ahead, then I'd put the Vikings at one because I don't know how many teams in the league you feel worse at the quarterback position than Minnesota right now. It's probably the worst in football. Like horrible
Cleveland,
draft
I would
book.
Say Cleveland simply because you still have the Deshaun Watson albatross of a contract on the books. But other than that, you're probably right.
Yeah, but even Cleveland, they're picking right now sixth. So if they like the quarterback, they can maybe make a move to go up with New York. We're 17. You can't do anything. You're bringing someone in. And actually, I'm wondering how much attention Malik Willis is going to get from Minnesota right now. I wouldn't feel comfortable giving him. I mean, what's a contract realistically that Malik could be looking at this year?
This has been a heavy topic in Green Bay because everyone wants to know what comp pick he's going to get. There was even some talk of could Green Bay franchise tag him. That's not going to happen. No. They can't do it, first of all, from a monetary standpoint. Like, theoretically could, but it would be a nightmare to do it. And then Malik has no trade value once he's got a $45 million contract, or at least a bit minimal. You're going to get a better pick from a comp pick. I personally think, and this is where I stand on it, I think the ceiling is probably the Justin Fields contract, 2 years, 40. That's I think the ceiling that's on it. Some Packers fans seem to think that it's more, and I've seen people float like the 25, 30 million. I think that's aggressive. I don't think I don't think he's got quite to that level, but I think the Justin Fields 2 years, 40 is probably the ceiling of where that could go.
I sent my cousin, Michael, let me see if I can find this here. I sent him here it is. I sent him a tweet from someone that said that Malik Willis 3 year, $66 million contract with the Jets is going to hit like crack. And he's a big Jets fan. He just wrote back, "I hate my life." I mean,
it will be interesting to see because I would expect Malik Willis, if he believes in himself, he should sign a 1 year deal where he thinks he can start somewhere and try and get the mega deal next offseason. But if he is sort of who I think he is and he can produce well in a quarterback friendly system, but outside of that can struggle, Minnesota is actually a pretty natural landing spot to sign for 1 year. He has a decent chance of beating JJ McCarthy and try and do what Daniel Jones did in Indianapolis, come in, take over the job, play well. And as long as Daniel Jones didn't get hurt, he would have been in a great spot going into this offseason.
Yeah.
Malik Willis is probably happier than anyone to just let this season die out as it is, forget about winning the Super Bowl here. If you ended the season today, he has a huge payday. Whereas if Malik has to come in for some reason and struggles in a game, we've seen it with Darnold. Like, these end-of-year performances, even in the MVP race, right? Stafford has a bad game last night. The MVP odds completely flip. Everyone overreacts so much at the end of the year that Malik Willis just letting it ride out from here on. Like, Jordan comes back. You guys go to the playoffs, you know, start whoever this weekend, and you're good to go. Like, he's going to get a lot of money. He actually would kind of fit in, though, Ziggy. I don't know if I really want the route to be Malik Willis, but I mean, he's been really good the past 2 weeks. Like, he was awesome on Saturday night, and it was your defense, Andy, that just got ran through. I wasn't watching the game on Saturday. I went back and watched it Sunday morning, but I was just getting texts from people in fantasy championships that were like, okay, thank you, Derrick Henry. Like, I've won my game. I've won my league. And how much does that worry you now, assuming you have to go up against Chicago, that Ben Johnson's going to go, wait a second, we could just run through these guys?
The fact that Ben Johnson didn't do that either the first two times is insane. Just really quick before we get there, Malik Willis, now PFF's second highest graded quarterback on the season, for the record, behind only Matthew Stafford. So Green Bay has two of the top six quarterbacks at the moment. Stafford, Willis, Burrow, Purdy, May, and Jordan Love, the top six quarterbacks per PFF on the season. Stafford 93.2, Willis 92.3. So that's where Willis is at.
I saw somebody say
he's
like
finish the season with a 20% completion percentage above expected. He's going to finish the season the leader in EPA per play by like half a point. He's unbelievable.
I'm sure Malik would like to play. Malik's agent wants nothing to do with Malik Willis playing this weekend. If like he has probably the most to lose of maybe anybody, because he is on such a high, ending on a high note right now, that if he can not play another snap this year, that's probably the best case. And now I shouldn't say it. Best case scenario is he goes up against Brian Flores' defense this week with backups and has an unbelievable game again, in which case you're going like, oh my God, like this is like, he's really getting paid. But probably better, it's safer situation to just not play at all and have Clayton Tune take the wheel this weekend, which I'm kind of expecting to happen. But it's a very interesting scenario for Malik Willis.
Andy, could this be a repeat of the Matt Flynn situation where you do well in Green Bay, you have 1.5 really awesome games, you sign and just immediately lose the job?
I would say yes, except for I do think Malik's had more than the 1.5 games than Flynn did. But yes, I mean, it easily could be that. It also could be a situation where he's legitimately really good, which I don't think Malik Willis is as good as he has been so far if you play him through the course of a 17-game season. I'd be pretty surprised, barring like perfect circumstances, if he was able to do that consistently. But that said, like, I don't think he's Matt Flynn either. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he probably slots somewhere between like the 20th and like 30th best quarterback in the league. Still, I think a starter clearly, but I mean, he'd be an upgrade for multiple teams right now.
Do you think that, was there any reporting or any murmuring around Green Bay about his progression? Because it looks like he's throwing the ball way better than he was last year. I mean, these past two games were the best he's ever thrown the football to me by far.
Yeah, I mean, Matt made mention last week or 2 weeks ago in the press conference of how they were really hard on him with his footwork and fundamentals and really getting that changed around. And I do think there's something to it. Credit to Tom Clements last year, Sean Mannion this year. They've done a really good job. And obviously credit to Malik too. But I think it's been a perfect, you know, coordination of A, Tennessee not having any idea what to do with him. Then B, Green Bay getting him for a late 7th round pick, Matt building a beautiful offense specifically for Malik Willis that he can operate at a high level. And then Malik going out and balling out. And I think Clements and again, Mannion have done a really great job fixing some of his fundamental issues as well.
I mean, you guys gold standard. I'm sorry, Ziggy, go ahead.
Well, wait a second, Paul. I need to make sure I understood what Andy said. You can take a quarterback, improve his mechanics, improve his ability to throw the ball and create an offense he can succeed in. You're allowed to do that.
I think we talked about this tweet earlier in the year, but it still is probably my favorite football tweet of the year, where someone says it's time to finally give up on JJ McCarthy so they can release him.
Yes.
And the Vikings can pick him back up and Kevin O'Connell can fix him. Like that. I love that so damn much. And it would be very fitting.
Well, you guys are the gold standard for quarterback development right now. And you have to wonder too, wherever Malik Willis goes, Matt LaFleur is clearly, you know, I mean, he's one of the best offensive minds in football. it's a nice environment for a QB to come into, especially short notice, right? Like after an injury like Love had. So I wonder how Malik will look if he's in a less quarterback friendly environment. I think you still need to see a little bit more. As you said, great two games, but probably a larger sample size is needed before you can hand them just a massive deal or anything like that. I was just kind of thinking, if Anthony Richardson, who I don't even know what's going to happen with him, Anthony Richardson would have to be a backup quarter. Like if he goes the backup route, and I don't even know if this is possible with the way everything's, all the contracts are, but him in Green Bay would be interesting as a backup.
That's been a name that's been talked about. If like the Colts just decide to completely give up on Anthony Richardson, that Green Bay should take a run at him, which I wouldn't hate. He's obviously a super talented dude. And if you give him some time to develop, it certainly is interesting. Let's see. So he would have a $5.4 million salary for the team that would acquire him via trade, a little bit less, a little under $5.4 million. So it's definitely not an exorbitant cost by any stretch of the imagination.
I think if you, yeah, because you have to assume, right, going into whatever trade that Love will be healthy for the year. If you give those guys Anthony Richardson, man, I you guys just have a little factory there that I'd love to poach from. So yeah, maybe Malik Willis winds up turning into a Viking, but yeah, like go ahead.
How bad does it have to be too if you get to Green Bay and they give you like Deshaun Kaiser and you can't make it? Like it's game over. It's like, oh, you didn't make it in Green Bay, sorry, it's done, it's not gonna work.
I was liking all the tweets of people saying, hey, we got to roll with Malik. Let's, you know, let Jordan go. I was like, well, yeah, you're Jordan Love on the Vikings. That someone tweeted that out. I was like, all right, that would be pretty funny for this show, for our channels, if Jordan Love became a Minnesota Viking.
Not happening.
All right. So back to the defense question. I love how we can go down these tangents here. But it's an interesting question with Willis right now with the way the Packer defense performed against Baltimore. That was actually, it was so alarming to me. I almost went, yeah, I kind of have to take them off. In my back of my mind, I was thinking maybe they could go on a run. And then I see that happen. And I don't know if they just didn't show up, short week. But, and the Derrick Henry, of course, we all know, specimen. There's not many guys like him. But when you have to go against a team like Chicago, probably round one, I was just, that got me nervous for them.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Well, it's either Chicago or Philly. And yes, Philly has not been the same, you know, rushing juggernaut as of late, but still, if you're Philly and you look at that tape, you're saying we can get Saquon Barkley going in that game. And like I said earlier, I'm shocked Ben Johnson didn't have that game plan against Green Bay the first two times. It's just like, why are we trying to do too much with Caleb, who looked amazing against San Fran, by the way, but why are we not just letting Swift and Manungai completely, and more specifically, the Bears offensive line take over this game? I mentioned it when I did my film study after that game. I didn't think Green Bay's defensive front had any real chance of hanging with Chicago, coming off that game. And there was a lot of really big red flags, which ended up rearing their ugly head even more against Baltimore. But yeah, if you're looking for some semblance of good news, my guess is Green Bay doesn't have as bad of a game in run defense in them, maybe in this iteration of the defense. They were all over the place, from bad run fits to misalignments to, Matt LaFleur looked legitimately flummoxed of like, we have put none of this on tape all season long, And now in a, like all the stuff that we've worked on from preseason, regular season that we've executed all season long, like everyone just stopped being able to execute it. He seemed legitimately like, I have no idea what just happened. And I think that it was probably more of a one-off from it being that bad, but I still have major, major concerns of whether or not this team can stop a good offensive line and good rushing attack like Chicago or even like Philly from being able to run the ball consistently. And I've talked about it all week, but Green Bay is just in no man's land where they're not stopping the run. They have no ability to get to the quarterback with a four-man rush. So both in the run game and in the passing game, you're having to commit extra bodies up, which is leaving your corners one-on-one on islands. And Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine are playing some of their worst football, arguably, of their careers. You're just in complete no man's land with how you want to kind of structure the defense right now.
Yeah. Is there anything to do other than just hope that magically things get better? Because for most of the season, like going in, if you rewind 3 weeks ago, before the Packers have given up 182 rushing yards a game over the last three games, they were fifth in opponent running back yards per carry. As you said, the corners were playing better, and now they played some of the worst football of their career. Like, is it too late in the season to make changes? Do you just sit back and say, well, hopefully we'll magically figure it out? Because I don't really know, other than like, I don't know, I guess you can bring in Trayvon Diggs, like what the option is.
Yeah, I think what I would do personally is we're going to throw and try to put as many points up on offense as possible. And we are going to play a ultra aggressive brand of defense. And guess what? We might give up 35 points, but if we can get two or three turnovers along the way, that's going to give us a punching chance to win the game. I don't think they can just go toe to toe with good NFL offenses, which is what you're going to primarily see, obviously, in the playoffs from here on out. I don't think they have the pieces to do that in any way. They don't have the corners. They don't have the defensive line, and they don't have the pass rush. They don't have any of it. So if you're in that situation, you just have to play ultra aggressive. I love the game plan that Brian Flores had last week against Detroit. Now, again, Minnesota's got maybe a couple more playmakers up front right now than what Green Bay does. But either way, that's a similar brand of football that I would play. We're screw it. We're bringing everybody. Good luck. We're gonna jump some routes. And if you beat us by, you know, and score 30 some points and we don't get the turnovers, then so be it. But we're going down swinging.
Yeah, I actually don't hate that. Just go for chaos. Another thing that people are seeming to forget right now is that a week ago, you guys went into Chicago and pushed them around for 3.5 quarters and had that game on lock before the onside kick.
15 minutes, yeah.
So that's one thing with the way Bears fans and Packers fans were reacting to this week where, yeah, the Bears game, even in a loss, I think you left that game feeling pretty damn good if you're a Bears fan. And you feel horrible if you're a Green Bay fan. Another example of how we react week to week in this league. You guys going into Chicago again, I think that when the dust settles, you're thinking, okay, wait a second, like, we can win this game. We should have won the first time just because that Chicago went and had this crazy performance. And I do think Chicago is playing better and better, right? Every week, yep. It seems.
Offensively.
Offensively, yes, definitely offensively. Yeah. But you guys, I don't think that you're screwed going into Chicago. Going on a run seems like an unlikely turn of events right now. But that's just something I think people need to remember is a week ago, Green Bay and Chicago played an overtime game. So that's one thing. I have a philosophy for you guys going into your playoff game, though, Andy.
Let's hear it.
I think it might be beneficial for Green Bay to punt on the opening series no matter what, just to get it out of the way. Because
if we don't punt, we lose.
Yeah.
If you don't punt,
what are you, 0-3 in games where you haven't punted this year?
Listen, this is classic Matt LaFleur not utilizing his best players. Daniel Whalen's been one of the best players on the Packers all year. And in three losses now, he hasn't used them one time. Like, this is a classic Matt LaFleur mismanagement. Got to find a way to get him on the field by any means necessary. So Daniel Whalen, this is your time to shine.
It is pretty unbelievable. I saw a stat. There's been 60 games in the Super Bowl era where teams haven't punted or where there's been a loss in a game where a team hasn't punted. And like the Packers have three of them this season. It's unbelievable that keeps happening to you guys. Yeah. And that's a reason to believe at least in, you know, the puncher's chance, as you were just saying before, that the offense can put points up. It's just a matter of, are they going to have those fumbles, the interceptions, the mistakes that have cost them in a lot of games this year offensively? Because you guys, you're still rolling. You're absolutely still clicking.
Yeah, no. And again, what you were saying earlier too, I think there's a belief that Green Bay can win any playoff game. I think they can honestly beat Philly. I think they can beat Chicago. I have no confidence. I mean, I'm not like sitting here brimming with like, yep, they're going to go in and win this game or whatever, but they certainly can. I just think where the harder thing is how do you get on a 4-game win streak with this team playing the way that it is right now? Since Micah, I think they're at, it's around negative 40 in point differential since Micah's gone out. Maybe it's either right around there, maybe negative 47. But either way, it's been really, really rough to kind of, to see what this team has become in recent weeks, but I still think they can. I want to shoot a question back for you guys though.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say the Vikings are on a likely 4-game losing streak going into the playoffs, and you have a choice between going to Green Bay or going to Philly, and knowing that you have the ability to be the team that knocks Green Bay out of the playoffs. But if you lose, now Green Bay is the one that has all the, you know, like they beat the Vikings again and you lost again to the Packers, et cetera. And the Packers fans get to talk smack all off season, whatever, or you can just go to Philly and be like, whatever happens there happens. Let Green Bay go do their own thing. And let's just have Minnesota maybe get out of their way, because that's sort of the situation that Green Bay is in, like going into this week of who you want to win. I think 90%+ of Packers fans want to go to Chicago and beat Chicago. And I'm in that boat as well, but there is absolutely an aspect of, all right, yes, if you can go into Chicago and beat Chicago, that's a consolation prize for what ended up being a fairly crappy season. That in their season where they're all pumped and excited and they're going to the playoffs and they won the division, at the end of the day, you still knocked them out of the playoffs at the end. That would be a pretty sweet moment. However, if you go to Chicago, in this case for the Packers, and lose to Chicago, oh dear God. Bears fans haven't shut up for years when they've been at the bottom of the division. And now they won the division, beat you twice in a row, beat you in the playoffs. And that's like the final just awful cherry on top of this awful Sunday season that we've seen so far for Green Bay. Which scenario would you rather have? If you're in Green Bay's shoes, would you rather go to Chicago and have the opportunity to knock them out, but knowing what the consequences is if you don't, or just go to Philly, face Philly, see what happens there, and let Chicago go on their own journey?
Ziggy, go ahead.
No, I always want to beat the rival. I think it's that simple. You know, you can say, and I think this is true, we want to play the team with the best chance to win, all of that. But no, look, you have to beat the divisional rival, especially when it's the Chicago Bears. I know you put us in the situation of Vikings fans talking about the Packers, but you're really asking about the Packers here. And yeah, the truth is, like, if you're Green Bay, you cannot pass up an opportunity to ruin the best season Chicago's had since they went to the Super Bowl. You just can't do it, right? I happen to think it gives them the best chance to win. That's nice. It's a more winnable game than Philly, but none of that really matters. You got to beat Chicago. That's what you want.
I disagree with the philosophy, Ziggy. I agree with the decision, but I'm just trying to imagine back when, you know, put myself in the Viking shoes, when the Packers had Rodgers and were, you know, all across the top of the NFC leaderboards. I would much rather go somewhere else where I think I can win than play in Green. Like, I want nothing to do. I want to win the Super Bowl. That is all I care about. I don't care about, you know, getting revenge for the Chicago game. If we see him again, we see him again. I want the path of least resistance. So it just so happens with the Packers that path is through Chicago as well. So yes, okay. I would go with Chicago because I think you're more likely to go into Chicago and win that game than you are to go into Philly and win that game. With the way the Eagles are playing now, you guys just don't really win there, it feels like. And we just saw you in Chicago a week ago blow a game that was yours until the final 2 minutes. So I would much rather go to Chicago. I don't care at all. The rivalry adds a little juice to it. But I want to, if you're a Packer fan, you want to keep winning here. I mean, you want to advance. You think you can still win in the Super Bowl in some way. So yeah, I'm all about Chicago, just different reasons.
As an NFL fan, Packers Bears is, I mean, what we saw in the game, there are these two franchises right now do not like each other. You've got the Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur thing on top of it. They split the series with the last game being on a crazy onside kick recovery. Like, it's a really, really good matchup. Arguably, like, it would get, I would think, either the Sunday 3:30 slot or the Saturday primetime slot. One of the two, I would assume it would get, but either way, it's a really fun matchup. I want to see it one way or the other, but there is that interesting weight of it of like, oh man, like the stakes in it are just so high because if you win, it's awesome. Such a sweet moment. And if you lose, it is such an awful moment. I think the interesting thing is like if Green Bay was just playing their normal brand of football, I'd be like, absolutely, bring on anybody. But losing what is likely going to be four in a row going into the postseason, it doesn't exactly instill a ton of confidence.
What's wild go ahead, Ziggy.
No, go ahead, Paul.
What's wild? Wow, polite off right there. What's wild about this situation too is it's one, and I said this to you, Ziggy, on our show the other day. It's one where I think Green Bay, yes, wants Chicago to be the two, and Chicago also wanted Green Bay to be the seven. Like both these teams want to play each other, not just again because of the rivalry, but a Bears fan, like, yeah, do you want the 49ers, the Rams, or the Packers? I mean, now the Niners are out of it, but would you know who would you want here of those wildcard teams? They pick the Packers every time. And the Packers of, I think, all the teams that won the division outside of being able to go to the NFC South team, you'd probably pick the Bears. It's kind of funny how it works out that both these teams want to play each other because they both think they have a better chance of winning that game. And then, it's just the cherry on top that it's Packers-Bears of all the games it could be.
Should be fun if it happens. We'll get to predictions, but the Lions are going to fight for that game. Lions are going to fight for that game. And that's an interesting one for me. I think Philly wins easy. And if Philly does win easy against Washington, obviously it all comes down to Detroit and Chicago in that case. But either way, it's going to be fun to watch.
So before we move on from Green Bay, I have one question. You can imagine, Andy, I've got like a direct line to Matt LaFleur. He said, look, I've been watching Behind Enemy Lines. You know, Andy Herman's great, but this Ziggy guy, he knows what he's talking about. So I'm going to ask Ziggy right now. We've lost three straight. As you said, Andy, we're looking at losing four straight. We've been playing some bad football. That might be a reason to get the starters out there and try and put some better football to put momentum up going into the playoffs. But also, we don't want anybody to get hurt. What should I tell Matt LaFleur to do, Andy?
You rest. You rest, rest, rest. There's nothing good that can come out. You cannot win anything against Chicago or Philly by what you do in Minnesota. The last thing I want, and maybe this would be different depending on the team too. The last thing I want is any start. Like Brian Flores is a madman. Like he usually could just be like, we're going to bring eight on every single play while Jordan Love is in there. And we do not care. We're just going to absolutely go blitz heavy. I don't want anything to do with that. And if you play Jordan, then you've got to like play all the surrounding players around him too. You probably want Zach Tom out there. And I don't think you want to really play Zach Tom this week, even if he could go. So like, I think there's a lot more that you can lose by playing guys. And the other aspect too, is like, if you go and you play your, like, we're going to go in and play our starters for two series. Okay, great. If you go three and out both series, like, are you feeling like, yep, that was a great way to go into the postseason. There's no guarantee that you like put a 8-play, 70-yard drive together to score a touchdown on the opening drive. And are like, all right, job done. We can get guys out of there. I think way more bad can happen than good, especially against this defense. And so, yeah, I rest as many players as you possibly can this week.
Well, and the Viking defense is playing that well right now. It's arguably the one of the hottest defenses in football over the past couple weeks.
Wait till you get to play Clayton Tune and see what it looks like.
Yeah, dude. It was funny when you were talking through the scenarios this weekend. And all of a sudden I realized, Ziggy, we kind of have a bit of a conundrum where for the channel success, we would love to see Packers Bears, but the Lions beating Chicago could potentially help the Vikings if we were to blow it again. I mean, we'll just beat the Packers and we'll end the season 5 in a row. But if we lost to Green Bay, then that Bears-Lions game would be like, oh, wait, we can get the draft pick back. We can get the last place in the division back. But we lose out on Packers-Bears in all likelihood, assuming Philly beat Washington. So that would be an interesting rooting dilemma for us where, like, that's one I think I actually probably root. Oh, I don't know. I'd probably root for Chicago for the sake of
it. I can say this weekend, the only thing I'm rooting for is Clayton Tune to put up 100 on the Vikings, right? There's all this chatter about Brian Flores going somewhere else, taking a defensive coordinator job somewhere else, becoming a head coach. Anything we can do to get bad Brian Flores tape out there so he can stay with Minnesota, I'm in favor of.
Yeah, that's a good point. We just want to get, all we wanted to do is get blown out. Like all we want to do is lose games, and you just can't. I always say winning is hard. That's what we used to say on Shamrock Sports at Notre Dame. Winning is hard. We had shirts. But apparently losing is hard for the Vikings now at this point. So we'll probably look awesome and we'll have Flores poached. We'll, it'll be terrible.
There's no way Brian Flores is going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere else, right?
I don't think so either.
The interesting thing for you guys is, assuming starting in that Washington game, that you would have preferred the Vikings to keep losing at that time. Those are four losses of what you wanted to happen. So like, if you look at what the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games. So you were 4-8 in the first 12. And then based on what you wanted to happen, you go 4-8 because you wanted wins in those 12 games. And you went 4-8 getting the result that you wanted. And then you wanted losses the remainder of the way. And you go 0-4 getting the result that you want. You're basically 4-12 for desired results so far this season for Minnesota.
We'd be picking, I'm looking right here, we'd probably be picking 7th. Had we lost the last 4 weeks, we'd be either 6th or 7th in the draft. And all of a sudden I'm feeling way better about it. Now, I think the Vikings are also in a spot where we're not going to be going for a quarterback. And there's just not, it's not a very good quarterback draft to begin with. But still, you got these guys coming out where Jeremiah Love's a name we've thrown around from Notre Dame, right? There's a couple big time defensive dudes. You can't get them at 17. You're just too far down to get any of those elite prospects. So you've taken your name out of the hat for that. It's really disappointing. I cannot believe that I'm staring at the tankathon right now, and there's one team separating the Vikings from the wild card losers.
Like, guess what? You'd be drafting 6th because Washington would have a win, pumping them up to 5 wins. The Giants would have a win, pumping them up to 4, and they have the better strength of schedule differential.
Totally right.
So you'd be 6th in the draft order right now if you lost your last 4 games. Now, if you beat Green Bay, then that changes things too. But going into the final week, you'd be at number 6 in the draft right now. Instead, you're at 17. So again, congratulations on your recent string of success.
Yeah, we're New Orleans fan. But in New Orleans, that's the problem with, or the good thing for them is at least Shaw looks good. Like,
yes,
he looks like a quarterback that you could roll into next year. That's what you wanted to happen if you were a Viking fan. Okay, we win a bunch of games, but McCarthy looks really good, and he played well against the Cowboys. He played well against the Commanders. I just have no idea. I have no clue what they're going to do. It's so disappointing. And Darnold, did you see the names that he joined, Andy, of quarterbacks with 13 wins in back-to-back seasons in NFL history?
I did not, no.
There are 5. Try and including Darnold. So can you guess the other 4?
Manning, Brady, Montana, Aikman, Rodgers.
So 5 including Darnold, but you got the first 2, Brady and Manning, Breeze and Favre. So okay. It's like,
had the wrong Packers quarterback.
You have, Rodgers might have even been in there actually. But
Rodgers was in there.
Yeah, Rodgers was in there. I'm sorry. So it was 6 now, I guess.
Breeze
but
was
just
not.
Think about like the quarterbacks that we're throwing around here. And Darnold's, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is just a nightmare. Okay, do you guys want to do, could it be fun
we didn't talk about Vikings yet. So what was, just quick thoughts on the Vikings game against Detroit. Any positive, the defense was insane. The defense was absolutely insane that you play against Detroit. Detroit really has, like, they have to get a new offensive coordinator, right? After Dan Campbell takes over plays and the offense looks terrible. Like, I think they have to probably get a new offensive coordinator. The Ben Johnson brain drain seems absolutely legitimate at the moment, but that's a different story. But either way, any positive takeaways for the Vikings from that one?
Dallas Turner has finished the season really, really well. We've been waiting a while as Vikings fans to see if he was going to break out, and I was starting to get nervous. You only see like half a sack in the stat line, but he forced a fumble this week too. He's really turned it on to finish the season. He's been much more consistent. He's been flying around the backfield. Like, I am confident that next year is going to be a real breakout year and everything's pointing up for him.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, it all comes on the defensive side of the ball. That's where it felt like a nightmare, and I think it was a nightmare because of the quarterback, and you just don't win without the quarterback. But you're right, Ziggy. Turner's been good.
I'm trying to find something.
No,
I guess you can all say we're winning games. Justin Jefferson looks less mad at the organization.
Yeah, that feels better, but Jefferson still has 30 yards in this game. You know, he's not even at 1,000 yards this year, which for him is, you know, not possible, it feels like. The offense has a ton of issues, but it's all around the quarterback. You have to feel good about the defense. And as long as you can retain Flores, it feels like the group they have right now will probably be very similar to the group they'll have next year. I think they're going to be actually bring a lot of these guys back. And maybe the way they finish the year is reason to, you know, we talked about what could happen with Van Ginkle or Grenard or Cashman. When they're playing like this, when the defense looks like this, O'Connell's probably sitting back thinking to himself, okay, if I just go get a decent quarterback in the offseason and whether, or JJ takes a step up, like this is a playoff team. So I think that there are a lot of benefits to winning and playing well. You also don't want the culture to completely fall apart. I know I'm complaining about winning games, but as a team, you just feel better. Like, we're going into the offseason on the right foot, it feels like, at least, again, defensively at least. We remember Detroit a couple of years ago when they beat you guys in that last... I'm sorry to bring that up, Andy. But,
no, you're good.
You know, there are benefits to winning late in the season and keeping the locker room morale high, where if you just, you know, the Vikings are 4-12 right now, we might be on the precipice of a complete collapse of the organization. So I took those away as some positives. Redmond continues to be awesome.
He's so fun.
He's great. Van Ginkle is amazing. Andrew Van Ginkle is just a phenomenal football player. And obviously Grenard didn't even play in this game. So I think there are positives to take away. Harrison Smith having his like swan song here. He's had a couple, you know, had an interception. It'll be sad to see him gone, but I thought that the way the defense has looked the past month made me kind of just go, yeah, this is what the team could have been with acceptable QB play.
But it is tough, Paul, because you say we want to bring everybody back, but the Vikings are projected $36 million over the cap next year, right? Like, you can move money around for Jefferson, but there's going to be some tough choices on guys like, do you want to make the offensive line weaker by cutting Brian O'Neill? Do you want to get rid of Grenard? Do you want to keep TJ Hawkinson? Like, there will be the defense playing lights out, and these guys like Van Ginkle playing really well is going to force a lot of tough choices.
I think like Van Ginkle's a name you just need to bring back.
I understand that, but it's like, well, maybe they can extend him. Like, it's just a lot of choices are getting harder with how the defense is playing, because let's cut a bunch of players from the offense and be weaker offensively does not sound like a great plan after what we saw this year. But neither is let's jettison guys from the defense and get rid of the only thing that went right this year.
I'm a big believer in cap magic, and you can manipulate the cap to figure things out. I don't think we're screwed over as far as salary cap goes. Again, maybe you just push it down the road and you have mistakes later on. But okay, so do you guys want to?
Really quick, can you imagine if I would have told you at the beginning of the year that the Vikings would end on a 5-game win streak and the Packers would end on a 4-game losing streak, what you would have probably been thinking at that point in time?
Week 18 is going to be a lot of fun.
If you told me after the McCarthy comeback week one that the Vikings would end the year winning 5 in a row, I would be thinking, like, holy crap. Are we the one seed? Like, are we competing for the one seed instead? The
Packers ending on a 4-game losing streak again if they lose to Minnesota the final week too. And yet... Green Bay's in the playoffs in Minnesota. Yeah, it's just outside of it.
Do you know how bad you have to be to have that happen where the Packers still finish ahead of the Vikings? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just, like, again, such a weird year where if you said Packers lose 4 in a row, they lose to the Panthers, they lose to the Browns this year, like, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, did Love get hurt? Like, what happened? And it's just been a wonky season. I don't know. The Niners are probably going to be the one seed, and they just kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah, they've been winning all year, but... It's just a strange, strange year.
Okay, I've one other thing for you guys before we get to prediction. Yeah, sorry to keep derailing.
No, that's fine.
All right. Pittsburgh loses to Baltimore. They don't make the playoffs. Pittsburgh decides, you know what? We're good in the Aaron Rodgers business. But Aaron says, you know what? Not quite done yet. Aaron calls up Minnesota again and says, hey, remember last year when we talked? And you guys were like, no, we're good with JJ McCarthy. And it ended up completely exploding in your face. How about now? Yeah, I want one more chance. I would love to play for you guys. You can, you know, develop JJ for another year. I want to be the starting quarterback for Minnesota. 1 year, $10 million. It doesn't matter. 1 year, $8 million. Doesn't matter. I want to be the quarterback of the Vikings. You guys in or out?
Beyond in. 1,000%. I was in on it this year. There's even more reason. He's been, I know he played really bad against Cleveland, but I think Rodgers has been solid this year, and that's on a pretty bad offense. There's not a lot to work with, especially when DK's punching people. So if you add Rodgers to this team, like right now, Andy, if you had to guess, what do you think the Vikings record would be if you gave them Aaron Rodgers this year?
I bet you're at least a couple games. It's worth at least a couple wins, and you're in the playoffs, I would think.
Yeah. So like if we're 8-8 right now, maybe we're 11-5 at this point in time. I think we probably win, probably beat Chicago and Minnesota. Like I just think there's a couple games that
you lose that first game without JJ McCarthy, though. There's only JJ McCarthy magic could have won that first game.
Yeah, maybe we do still split. Or maybe we split with the Bears in a different way. But no, I
Aaron
think
Rodgers is not losing a Soldier Field.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a good point. He does own them.
I think if you get that opportunity, it's one that makes sense because you're not necessarily giving up on JJ, but he's clearly in over his head right now. And yeah, you'd like to see him continue to work out the kinks, but as my father said to me a couple days ago, I don't know if I can do another year of JJ right now. If we repeat this past season, I don't know if I could do that. The team is ready to win. Like, the team is ready to win right now, and if McCarthy doesn't get a lot better, then, like, even with the way JJ played against the Commanders and Cowboys, right? Like, he was decent, but that team, like, if he plays like that all of next year, that's not a team that can win the Super Bowl. That's a team that can maybe get to a wild card.
I mean, Rodgers is 23 touchdowns, 7 picks. McCarthy's 11 touchdowns, 12 picks. I mean, just the difference there alone is again worth probably at least a couple wins.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Oh yeah, and I mean, you have to imagine Jefferson and Addison, assuming Addison's on the team. That, I mean, those guys are going to be much more useful in an offense where you can throw the football. It allows you to attack the draft a little bit differently because you can probably be more aggressive going for a player you think can help you win in one. You're going in on 1 year, and I'd rather do that than we're resorting back to who the Vikings have always been, right? Go after the old quarterback for the magical year. It'll probably blow up in our face, but that's more fun than this.
See?
Yeah, I totally agree, Paul. I'll take Aaron Rodgers. I'll take Joe Flacco. I'll take Tom Brady. I'll take Phillip Rivers. I'll take anything other than this.
Roethlisberger? Big Ben?
If I said either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers were the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings next year, what would you prefer? This is just a great question. I can't pass them up.
I'll take Tom Brady. There's no way he doesn't still have it.
Yeah, I think I'd have to take Brady. That's kind of insane. How long has it been? It's been like 3 years now, 4 years,
probably. How old is Brady? He's
47.
His last season was 2022.
Oh, he's 48.
Right?
He's 48. Yeah. He'll be 49 in August. All right, I might have to go Rodgers.
Yeah, you probably have to go Rodgers. No, you know what? I'll just go Brady. Brady would come in and could you imagine if you told him right now, like, all right, you're playing Minnesota next year? That guy's a lunatic. He'd be that team would be so jacked up too. I mean, you have to imagine he'd get hurt almost instantaneously. But
Phillip Rivers survived multiple NFL Rivers, games without injury. If he can do it, anyone can.
Rivers throwing the ball was just disgusting to watch. Like, it was fun, but you're watching those passes float out, and it was like each throw was its own mini miracle that it got to where he was throwing. I have no idea how those balls were completed.
I mean, he's always sort of been like that, right? Like, I have to imagine when he was first with the Chargers and they bring in a mechanics coach to work with him, he's like, no, I'm sticking with the trebuchet.
It was funny when they brought Riley Leonard in for the Hail Mary. It was like, because there's just not even a chance in hell that Rivers could. I don't know where. What if you're on the 30-yard line and you got to get it to the end zone? Are you keeping Rivers in the game? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't think so.
So, all right, very quickly. I wonder. All right, how about give me very quick picks, guys? Because then I want to do something else briefly before we wrap up. Do you have time, Andy, for that? Or do you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. So the games, Vikings, Packers, again, it's all the Packers backups. Are we all going Vikings?
Yep.
I'm going Packers. Assuming Malik Willis plays, if that's the backup playing, I'll take the Packers. If it's Clayton Tune, I'll take the Vikings.
That's fair. I'm going to take the Vikings either way.
Ziggy, you know the rule. Like, we've done this now for 4 weeks in a row.
The Vikings have got to lose a game at some point.
No, it means it nothing. We will win. That's how it goes with us. So I'll go Vikings as well. And then we have Lions and Bears in Soldier Field. If the Bears win, they're the 2 seed.
I'm going Lions.
You got to say a little bit more. I know we're doing this quick, but
I'll say Lions by a field goal. I'll say Cairo Santos doinks one at the end just for fun as well. Cairo Santos doinks one at the end to lose for Chicago, and Chicago falls to the 3 seed, and Philly goes to the 2.
It's time for me to stop hating. The Bears offense is here. They win by a touchdown or more.
It does seem like for the Packers this season, the Packer-esque thing would be for them to wind up going to Philly and just kind of getting manhandled by the Eagles. But I'm going to go with Chicago. They're playing well. Caleb has looked, coming off one of the best games of his career, I think. And the Lions just, they feel like a mess. I know that they fight, and I know grit's a word that is always thrown around with Detroit, but it's not there right now.
Yeah.
Would I be shocked if Detroit won? No. But Chicago is, this is meaningful football to them. Soldier Field is going to be bouncing. And Detroit just has nothing to play for. Like, even the year that we talked about Lions-Packers, they were on that win streak. It felt like the culture, you could feel the whole culture of the organization shifting. Now it's like, okay, if we just lose this game here, you know, we keep the last place schedule for next year, we have everybody hurt, you know, Goff was horrible last week. There's just nothing to build on at the moment. It's kind of just, let's pack it up and head into next season. I think they'll be very good next year. I'd be shocked if they weren't very good. But I'm going to go Chicago. Now, what I wanted to ask you guys is, if you had to very quickly look at like the current playoff scenario, I just want to see what our like Super Bowl predictions would go if we ran through these playoffs quickly, where you'd have this, I guess is just a lot of game picks, but we'll go kind of quick. Bears and Packers in round one would be the 2-7 game. Would you go with Green Bay, Andy, to get revenge?
Yeah, but I don't feel great about it.
Ziggy, who would you pick?
I'm taking Green Bay.
Okay, so maybe we could do it as like the three of us. We'll have a tiebreaker. I would probably go Chicago right now, so the Packers would advance. So they'd play the Seahawks. Yeah. But you guys have Eagles, Rams.
That's in Philly. The Rams offense has been up and down. I'll take Philly to get it done.
What do you got, Paul?
I think I'd go L.A. I think I'd go L.A. to win this one, get revenge from last year.
They get Adams back, and I'm going LA. I'll go LA as well.
And then, okay, and then we'd have Panthers. all right, 49ers, Panthers, or Bucks. I'm assuming we all go 49ers here.
Yeah.
But I do think there's going to be something wild that happens, and if it was that, it wouldn't even shock me, but I'll go Niners.
And the other teams can beat the Panthers. It's only the NFC North that struggles.
We'd have all the wild cards winning right now. So then we'd have, okay, in the divisional round in the NFC, we have Seahawks, Packers.
Seahawks.
You know, Jeff Hafley owns Sam Darnold. He didn't do it last year, but he does it this time. I'll take the Packers to win that.
I would go Seattle too, but I actually think it would be a good game. I don't think this would be a Seattle blowout. Then Niners, Rams in San Francisco.
I go Rams.
I'm taking the 49ers.
And I go Rams too. I think the Rams are a lot. Well, I've been a 49er hater most of the year. Ziggy's been mad at me. So that would be Rams, Seahawks, then in Seattle, a rematch to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm going Rams.
I'm going Rams.
Yeah, me too. All right, so we have the Rams there. And then on the other side, we have the playoffs will be a lot of fun this year. Yep. Pat's Bills in the first round is another great rematch.
I go Patriots.
I'm taking Josh Allen to go in and win.
Oh, man, we're split on a lot of these.
Yep. This is what's going to be great about the playoffs, is I think all of these could be super tight.
I want to take Allen, but the Bills, they're not playing good football. I don't think that team is good enough.
I don't know that Stephon Diggs thing now. I haven't read enough about that today to know what the situation is there. But
there's a decent chance he goes on the exempt list.
Yeah. That could change things.
That would. Assuming Diggs plays, I would take the Patriots to win that.
I May has been as good as Allen, if not arguably better. He's going to be the MVP, and Patriots have the better remainder of the team than I think Buffalo does. So I'm going Patriots.
Jags, Chargers in Jacksonville.
Duval, baby.
I'm going to go Duval too.
Yeah, me as well. And then we'd have Texans, let's say Ravens or Steelers, whoever you guys think.
Texans.
I'm taking that Texans defense over either of those AFC North teams.
Me too. I am too. So, okay. Now, and this would be a fun, even though you don't have any of the typical big names, Denver and Houston in Denver. I'll tell you what, before you guys, I would take the Texans to win this game. I think that their defense is playing better than the Bronco defense and would get to Knicks.
I think the defenses are close, but I'm a believer, so I'm going to take the Broncos.
Great. I didn't want the tiebreaker. I was hoping you guys were both going to agree. I'm going Houston.
So Houston's, I can't believe Houston. On one of our shows, Andy, I came out and said the Texans are unpickable. And I think from then on, they've won 7 in a row. And then we'd have Patriots, Jaguars, a rematch of the AFC Championship game from 2017, when I thought for a brief moment that the Vikings would be hosting the Super Bowl against Blake Bortles and the Jaguars.
I go Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots pretty easily.
Me too. So then we'd have Patriots, Texans to go to the Super Bowl.
I'll take the Patriots.
Pats.
Yeah, go New England. All right, Rams, Patriots. Another rematch, another Super Bowl rematch here.
Patriots, Drake May starts the Brady era all over again with beating the Rams the first time in the Super Bowl. So that was what Brady did, right? It was the greatest show on turf against Brady.
Yeah, he did. First Super Bowl win. I'd go Rams. So Ziggy, this is the tiebreaker.
You decide the Super Bowl, Ziggy.
I don't think this is very close. I think the Rams dominate the Patriots.
Okay, so we have Rams Patriots from behind enemy lines. But that is, I mean, it's going to be a fun playoffs because I do think you can look, especially in the AFC, 1 through 7, it's not crazy to draw the path out for any of those teams to get there.
And here's the other thing. Like, we struggled with the Rams and the Patriots in the first round. Like, yeah. The Rams went to Philly and we were back and forth on who would win that game. And the Patriots at Buffalo and we were very back and forth. And if you told me the Rams and Patriots both lost in the first round of the playoffs, no surprise in those matchups, no surprise whatsoever. Like, wouldn't be stunned a bit. And yet here we had them winning the Super Bowl, like those two teams going into the Super Bowl.
This year it feels like there's so many teams that have a Super Bowl ceiling, but there's nobody in the playoffs that I'm really confident has a floor to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Love got hot too, I would say 13 of the 14 teams have potential outside of the Rams outside the Panthers or the Bucks. So, all right,
I wouldn't take the AFC North team either.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know, Baltimore. You know. So, all right, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Should be a fun weekend. I mean, NFC North-wise, it's kind of dull. Like, it's
not going to be a good Packers-Vikings game, but it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah,
if you're a Packers fan, the fun thing is you can take the weekend off of watching football and just start looking forward to the playoffs.
Yeah. It might be that kind of weekend. So, Andy, I'll let you... I don't really know what we want to do.
I got you. Appreciate you all joining us. Thank you, as always. Follow at Farrington Show, at Andy Herman NFL, and at Packaday Podcast. We'll see you next time. But until next time, and as always, have a happy new year.